The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3. It is The Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Dank and Ryan Hwang with you. Time now for The Bigger Picture. And it looks like the Wuhan coronavirus will be the talk of the town for the foreseeable future as we take a look at how that's going to affect markets today, especially with a lot of markets reopening. The virus has affected countries such as South Korea, Taiwan, Thailand, Nepal, Vietnam, Saudi Arabia, Singapore, of course, the United States, France over the weekend, Australia, all confirm cases of the virus. But this morning, we're getting reports that the first case of the coronavirus has been confirmed in Germany. The man contracted the virus from Starnberg. It's about 30 kilometers south of Munich. But the Bavarian health officials have said that the man is under surveillance and in isolation, and the risk of infection for the people of Bavaria considered to be low.
So France, of course, was the first case in Europe. So definitely something that will be causing a bit of jitters in that part of the world, because its economy is really on shaky ground.
Yeah, it is.
And of course, China, latest we've been hearing is they are trying to buy some time to try to get things turning around. And that long festive holiday, which was supposed to end this Friday, now extended to next Monday. So they are trying to manage the population flows, trying to get people staying back at home to prevent the spread of the virus. And of course, this is something similar done back then in 2003 when they were also going through the SARS crisis. So a lot of popular hotspots, attractions closed. You've got Shanghai Disneyland not open. Parts of the Great Wall also closed. And many companies, Starbucks and almost everyone operating in China, is seeing a bit of dent and pressure in terms of business being affected.
We're also seeing a number of governments, including Germany, working on repatriating nationals from the region in China that's at the center of the outbreak. Wuhan, of course, in question. You would have heard in the news, the Philippines, 634 tourists sent back to Wuhan in four batches, and they've already cancelled direct flights to Wuhan. We're looking at a number of governments looking to do something similar. Drastic, no doubt, but it looks like this is the agreed-upon measure.
Yeah, and I'm reading some of the headlines, right? And it's quite interesting to see how they are recapping or summarizing it. Some of them are saying, sell first, ask questions later, because things are so uncertain around this virus. And to get a bigger picture, we've got Vasu Menon. He is the Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Morning, Vasu. How have you been doing over the long weekend?
Good morning, Ryan. Happy New Year. I've been well. Good. It's been a good break.
Okay, I'm glad to hear from you. Having a good break, Vasu. I'm just going to dive in first and get your help to kind of summarize what we should be expecting, right? We've seen quite a bit of a wobbly start for the Asian opening numbers. The big question is this going to get worse? And if it does, what do investors do?
Well, you know, I think the markets are clearly rattled, and today is going to be a down day for Asia. Wouldn't be surprised if the Asian market sees further downside from the current levels as we get headline news about the infection rates. And things are still rather fresh right now. You know, the infection numbers are picking up, and that's going to, rattle nerves and weigh on the markets. So short term, yes, the markets are going to be, under a bit of pressure. But if you cast your mind back to 2002, 2003, when we had the SARS outbreak, global equities fell by about 14% over a three-month period. You know, Asian equities fell by about 16% over a three-month period as well. So it takes about 2 to 3 months for this whole episode to play out. The difference this time around is that, governments are a lot more prepared. They have been a lot more proactive. China has restricted travel. They've been a lot more proactive. They've been a lot more upfront. Back in 2002, it took them almost 3 months before they informed the WHO they had a problem. This time around, in less than a month, they've informed the WHO. So I think a lot of governments are very proactive, and the casualty rate for the Wuhan virus is a lot lower than the SARS virus. The mortality rate is about 3% for the Wuhan virus, and the SARS virus is about 10%. So yes, this is infectious, but in terms of its deadliness, it seems to be less deadly than the SARS virus. It seems to be impacting people who are, who have got underlying problems, a lot older people. So I think, the markets are absorbing all this information. It's going to put a bit of pressure on the markets. But whether we'll see a big sell-off like we did in the SARS virus, I'm not sure, because, there's a lot of policy support. Central banks are ready to act. There's a lot of easy money floating around looking for bargains. So we may not see as sharp a pullback as we did back in 2002, 2003. But nevertheless, it's going to be very choppy in the next few weeks as we get more information and data coming out of China.
Hey, Vasu, definitely a quite nervous time for investors. If you look at the markets, you've got numbers quite deep in the red. And I'm just wondering what you are telling your clients right now. Should you be looking out for reallocation to more defensive stuff, or should you be parking your money dry, putting in cash and looking for bargains right now?
Well, we think that this whole episode is going to be transitory. It's going to take 2-3 months to play out, and then, nerves will settle down. Hopefully the authorities will find a cure for the virus, or the virus will, start cooling off and not make so much of headlines. So we've not changed our asset allocation. Mm-hmm. We continue to maintain our asset allocation. We're telling investors not to panic. At the same time, it may be a bit early to buy on dips as well. We are moderately risk-on, actually, in terms of our asset allocation. We've not changed that. It may be a bit early to buy on dips because, we could see further dips. But, at some stage, this could actually present an interesting buying opportunity event for investors because, yes, it's going to have a global economic impact, but we don't think it's going to be as severe as SARS. And it's transitory. It's not a systemic problem. It could actually present a buying opportunity, but not just yet.
Okay, the other thing we are tracking right now is oil prices pushing 3-month lows. And there's a lot of moving parts to this. Is there more downside to oil? Because people are saying there is going to be a cutback in travel that will affect airlines and they will likely to demand less oil.
No doubt. I mean, clearly, global demand is going to be affected. Concerns about global growth, at least in the short term. All that is going to weigh on oil prices a little bit, but will we see oil prices collapse and go back to the $40 a barrel, even $45 a barrel, or perhaps even below $50 a barrel? I mean, I have my doubts because, I think OPEC could easily step in to cut supply once again. Yeah. We're not in dire straits, Ryan. I think, yes, the global economy is going to take a hit from this to some extent, but like I said, this is not a systemic problem. It doesn't alter the fundamental picture in a big, big way yet. So I wouldn't be too spooked. Don't think oil prices are going to fall and come crashing down.
All right, we're checking Vasu Menon. He is the Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Vasu, looking ahead, a couple of things we are keeping an eye out for is earnings. Back over in the US, you've got tech giants Apple, SAP, Facebook, Samsung, South Korean chipmaker SK Hynix, all prepared to release their numbers. But the thing is, we've been seeing markets pushing record highs in past weeks. What do you take away from the earnings season so far when we've been seeing some of the good numbers? Is this likely to help stabilize the mood we've been seeing, which has been quite jittery?
Well, yeah, perhaps. To some extent, earnings have turned out to be better than expected. I think 70-75% of the earnings on Wall Street have actually beaten market expectations. In the case of the tech sector, Intel has clearly exceeded market expectations in terms of its earnings. I think you've got a whole slew of tech companies coming out with earnings this week. And I think the good news is that tech companies are probably going to post better earnings than they did in the past three quarters. In other words, the first three quarters of 2019. So the market's expecting a much better performance because the semiconductor cycle is turning around. And I think that's helping to boost the tech sector. But whether that's going to be enough to offset the negativity on the Wuhan virus, I doubt. I think that Wuhan virus is still going to be the theme for the markets this week.
All right, Vasu, and also something to look out for this week. The central banks, the US FOMC and the BOE, expected to make their rate decisions. And I think the BOE is going to be interesting to watch because this is very close to its Brexit decision and also the last one by the Bank of England's governor, Mark Carney. What are you expecting from these two banks?
Well, FOMC, I suspect the Federal Reserve will keep interest rates status quo, no change. There are no reasons for it to act either way, increase rates or even decrease rates. They've already done it 3 times last year. I mean, the economy is doing relatively well, so no reasons for them to act. As far as the BOE is concerned, the futures market is pricing in a 60% probability of a rate cut. It's a tough call, Ryan, because, the economy in the UK was feeble, but the recent data shows a pickup. And you've got, like you said, Brexit negotiations going to start very soon. The UK budget is in March, and the UK government could announce a big stimulus. Against a backdrop like that, it is possible that the BOE may just stand pat and hold rates until it gets more information on the economy, more information about the trade negotiations, and more information about what the UK government will do in terms of the budget. So my suspicion is that it probably won't cut rates until they get more information.
Okay, looking ahead for the central bank meetings as well as the earnings, we've got Vasu Menon, Executive Director of Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Vasu, thank you so much. Always great chatting with you.
Thank you very much, Ryan, and I wish all of you a very happy new year.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.